I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Aram Arslanian joins me now. He's vice president of the Humphrey Group, which is a company with offices in Toronto, Calgary, Mexico City, and here in Vancouver, that offers coaching to leaders in the business community on leadership and communication. We'll talk about his work there as well as his background in counseling. He is completing an MA in counseling psychology at UBC, where he had previously gotten degrees in literature and psychology. He is also a musician. He founded a record label and has had a successful career performing internationally. The website for more is at thehumphreygroup.com. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program from here in Vancouver, Aram Arslanian. Mr. Arslanian, good morning.
Hi, how are you doing?
Pretty good, yourself?
I'm doing very good, thanks.
So when you talk to people about your work and about your life thus far, your career, do they find it odd that you've had this career in music and then now you're working in sort of the corporate world?
Yeah, it's an interesting mix. So when I talk about it with people, the question that they often ask is, did you find it jarring? You know, you've got on one side playing in these bands and touring all over the world, and then on the other side, you were working in the field of psychology for many years. So is the shift into the corporate world jarring or difficult? And the answer is not at all. It's been very, very wonderful. If you look at the nature of what I've done as a counselor, it was about helping people achieve certain kinds of goals. And in the corporate world and in the work that I do here, it's the exact same thing, different kinds of goals, but the essence of the work has a lot of similarities.
And so they've complemented one another, haven't they?
Absolutely.
In terms of your work at the Humphrey Group, because you that's where you work, that's your day job, say. What are some of the clients that you deal with? And I'm not asking for who, but sort of just the sort of groups of people that you'll see, say.
Yeah, absolutely. We work very deeply in the energy sector, also financial, technology, anything to do with transportation. We do a lot of work in insurance. So quite broad. We're very diverse in terms of the types of industries we work with. And the reasoning behind that is all of these areas, and of course all businesses, really what it boils down to is any kind of business needs leadership. And that can be leadership, of course, at the C-suite, very senior people. But then starting to get your idea of people who would be informal leaders or leaders at any level, all of these people need to be able to have vision, to be able to work well, collaborate, and all of those things require leadership.
Yeah, it's one thing if the CEO is pretty good. It's another thing if, say, the person downstairs, the doorman or the front level person, isn't. And a good leader, I guess, would want their values represented throughout the company.
Of course, and ideally, you've got a leader that cascades that down, that is such a strong leader and has such clear vision about the way they want people to lead through their communication that it just cascades down. And sometimes that's the case. You've got a lot of great companies who don't lean heavily on outside groups such as ours. And then there are many companies who are just wonderful, wonderful companies. They bring in experts like ourselves to partner with them and help with that.
So you talked about these different sectors of business that you deal with. Is there a common thread in terms of the challenges that they have, the problems that they may have, and that they bring to you to solve, say?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So if we think of one of the toughest things, and this is not just professionally, it can also be personally, is when people overload you with information. So when someone's speaking to you in a business sense and they're not clear, they're not concise, they're really dumping a lot of data on you, it makes the nature of doing business difficult. And if that person is your leader and they're giving you just a complete data dump, they're not showing you vision. So one of the things that we work with on in all different levels is clarity, conciseness, precision of thought, and then precision in communication. And then I keep speaking about vision, and why this is important is speaking about your vision in terms of big, you know, the big mountaintop moment things you want to achieve, but also just day-to-day, what is the actual vision for this thing that we're trying to get done?
Yeah,
so we work with a lot of industries on clarity of thought, precision of thought and communication, and then providing vision.
So do you find that there are a lot of companies that, work day-to-day and don't see the forest for the trees, for example, and just really not have a vision?
Yeah, 100%. And I'd say I tend to see it happen more in companies that have a lot of technical expertise. So people who are true experts in anything that is very, very high touch, you know, so we could say engineers or people from that kind of background where the education is extremely high, their expertise is very precise. These are groups of people who, rightfully so, view information as being incredibly important and have difficulty synthesizing that into vision. And one of the things that I always say to people is, leadership is all about accessibility of thought, that true experts transition into leaders when they have learned how to make their expertise accessible to those who aren't experts themselves.
And are you finding, bad trends amongst businesses? I mean, we notice these things when we go to restaurants, for example. You'll have waiters or waitresses coming up and sort of memorizing your orders because online they say that's a good thing. Doctors complain that the patients are coming into their offices diagnosing themselves off the internet. It's not terribly accurate. So it does say, not popular culture, but say the discourse, the internet conversations that we have with one another, are they giving us bad advice maybe?
Yeah, it's a great thing to point out. Absolutely. And also, they're giving us a lot of great advice. What's difficult is it's the same thing that we saw with business books, that whatever business book comes out tends to be the way people operate until the next big book comes out. So it's the same thing with articles. I'm going to bring up one that has been really interesting for me lately is the conversation about authenticity. People have been talking about authenticity and leadership a lot for the past few years. And of course, ideally, we want people to be authentic. But what it means to be authentic in your home and just with your friends, and what it means to be an authentic leader, it's not that these are separate ideas, but there are slight differences that people should be quite thoughtful of. And in my work, I've often heard people say, oh, well, I wouldn't say that because that's not authentic for me. And then I've had to push back and say, is it authentic or do you just not want to do it? And that's the place where I find it's interesting. So this is one of these trends. Authenticity doesn't mean we just get to do and say whatever we want, whenever we want. It's more that we always have to think, how can I be as authentic as possible and still meet the needs of the business and do what's appropriate here? So authenticity is one of those interesting trends where, again, it's a buzz idea. People are talking about authentic leadership, but it has to come from the right place and the right focus for it to be really effective in a business.
So we assume that being authentic means being truthful. There is a slight difference, isn't there?
Absolutely. I had a great conversation with someone recently where they were talking about authenticity, and really what it boiled down to is this was a leader who was very comfortable in acting a certain way, but that way no longer served the needs of the business as it was today. So authenticity, and why it's a little bit different in our day-to-day life, is that, of course, we should always be authentic, but we have to look at what is authentic to our day-to-day and see what has to be challenged within us so that it best meets the needs of where the business is today. Because what worked a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago may not be working now. And part of the challenge and the responsibility as a leader is also to be looking at yourself and saying, what are the behaviors that are working for me now, and what are past behaviors that I'm still dragging with me that I need to leave behind?
Did you find amongst the leaders that you talk to that they're reticent to innovate, that they're reticent to change?
Sometimes. It depends on what the kind of change is. Things that are easily checked, so boxes that you can check, those are ones that people typically feel very comfortable to dive into. Ones that are a little bit more misty or vague, it's not for lack of courage. It's because they're less quantifiable to say, and now you've achieved this change. So when we're talking about perception as a leader or your leadership brand or how you connect with people, how you build relationships, these are ones that people can be quite hesitant about. But I've never had a leader who balked and said, I'm not going to do it. I've always found leaders are willing to do it as long as they feel that they're supported.
And so you've talked to leaders from various sectors and the sort. Have you got, say, a couple of qualities that all good leaders have?
Absolutely. I believe that to be a truly good leader, a leader that is fundamentally going to do the right thing at the right time, it's a deep ability to do two things simultaneously, to completely know that you should be in your seat. The seat that you're in, the leadership seat, you absolutely are supposed to be there. And the humility to say, and I have a lot of things to learn around that path. So great leaders know they're supposed to be there. Of course, they might feel doubts. They might feel like a fraud from time to time. But deep down, they know they're supposed to be in that seat. And the second piece is that they still have a deep willingness to learn from the people around them, from industry experts, from outside experts. And it's those leaders that keep that curiosity and the humility and know that they should be in that space. Those are the ones that I find to be the most successful.
And do you find, we're in the middle of an election campaign in this country as well. We're seeing politics in the United States. Are the qualities of good leadership in business, are they transferable to politics, say?
Absolutely. The difficulty, though, is that in business, unless you're a very visible leader to the media, you tend to have more space to make mistakes and to, I'd say, maybe be a little bit more transparent in your actions and what you're working on. Whereas I think with politics, because it is such a media-driven thing, people having to be very careful about not making mistakes and not being as transparent about the things that they're working on. So I think it's a little bit more of a pressure cooker for politicians because they can't show their hand as much around their own development.
Now, you have this background in music. Say, did you grow up in Vancouver?
I grew up in Alberta.
I see. Okay, and then so music, I guess, from an early age, the sort of music that you listened to, what was the sort of music you went into?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So I grew up in Alberta as a skateboarder.
Uh-huh.
So my name is quite exotic, Aram Arslanian, and my family was one of the very few immigrant families in the neighborhood we grew up in. And, because of that, I tended to focus on being very individual. I was always very individual. I was as a young kid. I was never much of a joiner. I didn't join other people's things. I was always very much into discovering things and doing those things on my own. So I got into skateboarding, which then led me into music. I started my first band when I was 15. We were just awful, terrible band, practiced in my parents' basement. And then from there, completely unintentionally, I ended up joining bands that wanted to have first local success, and then national success, and then later on international success.
So you have this background in music. It's awful, an awfully creative field. Can the corporate world be creative?
Oh, the corporate world is an immensely, immensely creative place. So when we're talking about just the pragmatics of how to solve problems, that's a kind of creativity that we see day to day. And we have subject matter experts and leaders being in that space, being very creative. But if you think about weaving together a diversity of people and leading in a time where businesses are more and more becoming socially conscious, where they're interacting with society's needs in a different way, this is an incredibly rich time for diversity, for creativity, where I see leaders and businesses doing some truly breathtaking things that you would never have thought of before. And that's because creative minds are developing these things.
Yeah, we just assume that a corporate world would be stifling of that.
Yeah, and I found it to be just the opposite. It's truly breathtaking, some of the things I've seen, and especially in these past 5 years.
And is that generational, do you think?
I wouldn't say that. I'd say it's more environmental. I think our business environment is much more open to that. I've seen leaders of leaders from older generations do some of the most creative things.
Yeah. It's fascinating to think how we just have these assumptions, we as the public, because I guess there are a lot of people in the public who are, say, hostile towards corporations, towards business, because they think that, that's the man, if you will. But at the end of the day, you are seeing a diversity that we don't assume is there.
Absolutely. And, of course, it increases over time. And one of the things about public perception of the corporate world, I completely understand it, partially because some of these stereotypes are true and have been true up until more of our modern time, in regards to it being a certain look, a certain gender, a certain profile. And then part of it is because, in movies or anything like that, very often the corporate person or the corporate people are the bad guys. So I get it. you know, from why people would think that. And the interesting thing is being behind the scenes, and I get asked this all the time by people I know in my public or in my personal life. When you get behind the scenes, something that I always find every single day, I just found it this morning, business is typically ran by wonderful people who are incredibly smart and they want the right things. So in those times when things go sideways, it's not because someone with a curly mustache is twirling it and laughing in the corner. It's because certain things or the business climate or something has gone wrong along the way. And then there are people trying to fix it, like really good, decent people trying to fix it. And I would say the vast majority of people who are working in the business world that I have met, that I've come into contact, are truly just wonderful, good-hearted professionals. Around the diversity piece, absolutely. That doesn't change overnight, but it's changing, and people are working on it and working earnestly. This is not a business trend. This is, I do believe, leaders saying we need to make a change that properly reflects equality in our society for all people. And I've seen some of the hardest decisions leaders have had to make. I've walked that path with them. I've seen some just truly miraculous things happen at companies, and that's going to keep going. It's not going to happen tomorrow, all the changes, but I would say in the next 10, 20, 30 years, the business landscape is going to be dramatically different from a diversity perspective.
Well, what did the life of a musician teach you about people?
That's interesting. Music, and specifically the kind of music that I played or that I play now, is really about street smarts. It's about just knowing people. You know, we're not looking at being rock stars. These are still to this day musicians that hop in a van and drive town to town. It has given me a level of street smarts and people smarts, just basically knowing people. And I will often say to anyone, anyone that I work with, my job at its very core is to be able to walk into a room and understand the people in that room and the dynamics of the business within just mere seconds. And music has given me that. Great read on people, great understanding of what the social setting is and how people work well together.
You notice that, I guess, when you step on stage, you can read an audience quickly, right?
Exactly. That's it. You've got to be able to read the room.
Yeah. In terms of communication, because, I mean, a lot of communities that get in trouble that we hear about in the news are in trouble because they've screwed up communicating to the public or to their employees, say. What's a piece of advice for someone listening to us just in terms of how to communicate better in our daily lives, thus, if we're ever in business or if we're applying for a job, say, it'll help us?
The advice I'd give is to switch the idea of what I'd refer to as mountaintop moments. So very often businesses look at things as this is the important moment. This is the time when everyone's going to be looking at us. So we've got to be ready for this moment. I'd say flip that and really start thinking the day-to-day is what matters the most. And at the core, every time any leader is communicating, they are doing one of three things. They're either building a relationship, maintaining a relationship, or eroding it. And that means every conversation, every email, anything that you are communicating to other people, you're either building, maintaining, or eroding.
It's character, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what you're doing when no one's looking?
Absolutely, yeah. 100%. Because doing that well creates its own momentum, and that momentum sets you up properly for the mountaintop moments.
Aram, this has been fascinating to chat today. Thanks for this.
Oh, thank you.
The website for more, thehumphreygroup.com. Aram Arslanian, who is Vice President at the Humphrey Group, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.